Today on the Nerd Outcast podcast, we talk about CW's Arrow. Welcome back. I'm your host, Chris Bashan, and I have gathered a group of nerd experts, people who feel they can talk with authority, about the CW Network's show, Arrow. My first expert, he's been on the show before, and his name is...
I'm DJ Fink, and I'm still a nerd.
Oh, good. I'm so glad that you didn't, like, relapse or, like, lose that.
No, it's pretty much a genetic condition. I can't really help it.
Well, just in case people are listening to you for the first time, DJ, first off, welcome back.
Thank you.
What was the last episode you were on?
I did Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
I've been here for another one. I did a Batman. Apparently there's been other ones.
There were three Batman.
I wasn't invited back for.
There were three Batman. Your contract was up. So if people are listening to you for the first time, what type of nerd are you?
General comic nerd, big time Batman, Justice League guy, sci-fi.
Who's your favorite superhero?
It's Batman, hands down.
Okay. Where do you fall with Green Arrow?
Green Arrow is a guy I like. He is definitely somebody that appeals to me because of some of the reasons I like Batman. He's the guy with skills and brains, no superpowers, but that's pretty much my general appeal towards him.
Okay, cool. Well, hold on to your thoughts and feelings. We'll discuss this in a minute. I brought on another expert, and he's been on before also, and his name is...
Rob Shoemate.
Hello, Rob.
Howdy.
Thank you for stepping in at the last minute.
Hey, I'd do it again.
Yay. Well, you live nearby, so...
That's true.
Just in case this is the first time someone's listening to you, and it's not, because you've been on the show like 18 million times, what type of nerd are you?
I am a fairly general nerd. Video games, comics. I'll go ahead and answer your question. Green Lantern is my favorite.
Okay.
Superhero.
Sorry, I was thinking...
Because you had a podcast, I think, about Green Lantern.
We did. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's okay. You got my memo, but that's okay.
Where do you fall with Green Arrow?
Green Arrow, I am more familiar with Green Arrow from the animated stuff that DC has put out.
Okay.
And he strikes me as the happy version of Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, we'll talk about that, but yeah that's kind of the
like I like him more than Batman. I'll go ahead and say that.
Okay.
I'm not a huge Batman fan.
We're not going to be friends, right?
That's okay. It's okay. My superhero jacked your superhero on the jaw.
Oh, we think you just made yourself the outcast. I have one more expert. He's been on the show before, but it's been a long time, and he's back, and his name is...
Roman Reyes. Glad to be back.
Glad to have you back. I know you're on Batman podcast.
Batman and Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. So, Roman, if people are listening to you for the first time, what type of nerd are you? Comic book guy, gamer, what are you?
Comic book, gamer. My favorite superhero is Batman as well. Sorry.
It's okay.
I feel but that's my, like the majority of the world.
Which my second favorite superhero happens to be Green Lantern.
Okay. That's okay.
Who's your third?
Ooh. Probably Thor.
Oh,
wow. Yeah. You're like the second Thor fan I've ever met in my life.
Yeah. I don't know anybody else who actually collects Thor.
Yeah.
If you had to give the movies a rating, how would you rate them?
The Thor movies?
Yep.
I mean, there are only two.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. There's only two.
You can throw Avengers in there, right?
Okay. I mean, amongst the other Marvel...
On a scale of Fantastic Four to Winter Soldier, where would you put Thor?
Ooh.
The first Thor is far closer to Winter Soldier than Fantastic Four.
Good.
I like how he didn't mention the second
one. All right. You know what? We're not here to talk about Thor. We're going to talk about Arrow. For the purposes of this show, I will be your nice outcast. I don't know anything about Green Arrow, and I'm really curious to learn a little bit about him. I've seen a couple of the episodes, but not too many. I have brought on a real outcast, though. He's been on before, and his name is...
Andrew Kudla.
Did you just cough, introduce yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's the coolest thing to do.
He had to introduce himself really as the outcast. He's like, hey, you guys, with all your enthusiasm, yeah, put that away.
I didn't know if you were ready yet, so all right. I just needed that pause.
So let me ask you this, Andrew. So you're the outcast.
I am.
Are you the outcast because you don't know anything?
No. I've seen the show. I have seen both seasons. I actually bought, like, 6 of the episodes on iTunes because they weren't on Netflix yet, and I needed to catch up, and I'm feeling really sore about it.
What was
still.
The term you put towards it? Was it Chris said you had hate watch?
Yes, I hate watched it. I hate watched it, and I will continue to hate watch it.
I need that kind of free time.
Okay, all right. So, Andrew, let's learn a little bit about you.
Sure. Yeah.
So, what type of nerd are you? You've been on podcasts before.
Yep, I was on. I was on as an expert for Buffy, and then I was on an outcast one of the Batmans. I feel like the Schumacher Batman.
Yeah.
See, I would have been an outcast on that one too.
Yeah.
And you were on Star Trek Next Generation.
Oh, yeah, I was on that one.
I was here for that
one.
I forgot about that.
That was a fun one.
It was a good one.
Yeah, I watched, 12 episodes.
So, what do you have any other nerd interests that we should know about? Are you a comic book guy?
No, I am. I was the AV Club president, and I didn't have friends.
Nerd.
So, that's kind of where I'm at, you know?
A true outcast.
Mm-hmm.
Who's one of your favorite superheroes?
The Doctor.
That's
acceptable.
Yeah. Which Doctor?
Oh, God. Donna.
Oh. Okay.
I don't think that she really...
She wasn't the Doctor, but when I think about heroes and when I think about... Okay,
she's my favorite companion. I know this
she's
is
my
not a Doctor
companion.
Who podcast.
We're gonna, gonna bring you back on track.
She's my favorite companion.
Doctor. Okay.
Okay, well, Donna was your answer.
What did she have in her? She had...
Boobs.
She had boobs.
Okay.
Anyway, okay.
Moving
okay.
along.
So let's stack Donna up against... How do you feel about Arrow?
I mean, it's just... I really... There's a lot of abs on that show. Which is really the reason why, I think I watched it past episode 2, maybe 3. But past that, there's not much to it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean...
How do you feel about, the character? Like, are you familiar with the comic book, or...?
No.
Okay.
No. I have no relation to the character.
So what is... Is, the writing bad to you? Like,
yeah,
do you just
I think
the idea is stupid,
I just think, every time, the detective talks... He's just like, Arrow, don't kill people, but you have to. You know what I'm saying?
What are you talking about, Harry Dresden?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh my God. Everything that comes out of all of their mouths, I can't stand.
Blackthorn, is that his name?
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask the question of what, as far as comic book hero translations to TV, that you found appealing? About anything? I mean, are there any shows that you like? Because I'm trying to get a basis of comparison.
I was a very big Harry Potter fan, so I guess I should have said that. Yeah. Harry Potter, Doctor Who, but I didn't start watching that until...
Huge Aquaman.
Relatively recently.
Fan.
What?
What?
No, but I guess because I'm trying to understand your hate as a guy who admittedly was not a comic guy for what you're stacking that up against that you find to be somewhat still a nerd, niche... kind of a TV show, but you think is well written by comparison, or the acting is better by comparison.
I mean,
that's
Buffy,
all.
Firefly.
Okay.
Did you watch Smallville?
Yeah.
I watched a season and a half, I think, and then I watched some of the later episodes. I feel like when it ended, I watched the last 4 episodes.
Because when Arrow first started, a lot of people were sort of, Smallville had just ended, and that Green Arrow iteration in Smallville, people had that fresh in their heads, and people were actually... upset that he wasn't chosen to be the Smallville actor, Justin...
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, though, that guy, I liked him, I liked his Arrow more.
His version of Arrow
in
Smallville.
Yeah,
he was actually a very
He was closer
character.
To comics, he was closer to what I would envision, I said it before, a happy Bruce Wayne to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that, I mean, when I first heard of the new show, the Arrow concept, how he was going to be a little bit darker and somewhat more brooding, and I was thinking this is totally going to suck, because my, you know, I had the version of Green Arrow in my head as being, you know, the wisecracking kind of happy-go-lucky loner in the comic books. And in Smallville, he was far more like that.
I want to pick this up, but I know I'm going to ruin something that Chris wants to bring up later, so... Do it!
Okay, all right. We've kind of, like, jumped headlong into this, so let's talk a little bit about, for those who don't know, and Andrew, remember, as the outcast, you can bring up any questions, comments, protests that you want to at any time. That's in your power, okay? And I'm the nice outcast, so I'm going to legitimately ask questions that I don't know. So, CW's Arrow. I'm going to need you guys to help fill in some blanks here. So the show started, this is their second season, so they started airing last year. How many episodes? Or, you know what I mean?
22 episodes per season?
Yeah.
Or is it 23?
Just about 20, no. I mean, I don't know the exact number.
Yeah,
it's 23.
Okay.
And that, again, Rob, like what you mentioned, that's how Arrow has been described to me. Like, he's a happy Batman. Were his parents killed in the comic book? Or, like, what makes him... Why is he...
I honestly don't know that. I'm not a huge Green Arrow fan from the comic book. Going into this, though, the one thing I was really worried about, because we've established that I'm not the biggest Batman fan, that they saw something, it works, let's just apply this to another hero who's very similar to Batman. And I was afraid of that going into the show, and it worked for me.
Do you feel that really betrays the intent of the character? Like, that he loses
from his comic book? Because of the 52, they just wiped out all that history with him, sort of, depending on who you talk to and where the 52 starts. Supposedly, all the backstory happens with the 52 if you're Green Arrow, Green Lantern, Batman, or... who's the other one they didn't... Who wasn't broke, so they didn't fix it?
Oh, who wasn't rebooted?
Yeah.
Flash. Because Flash kind of...
Flash was technically rebooted because he's the one that did the rebooting.
Yeah, he caused it all, but he had the residual memories.
Yeah, but see, my favorite Flash is Wally West. It's not Barry Allen.
Let me throw it to some of my other two...
I'm a big Flash fan, too.
My other two experts. How do you feel the Green Arrow character in the show portrays the comic book character? Does he do it a disservice, or do you think that style, that Nolan style, works? Well,
I happen to like the dark, gritty aspect to it. I happen to like that they basically kicked off the first season with him as a stone cold killer.
That's what actually kept me going with the show.
It goes completely against the comics and the trick arrows and the, oh, look, here's a boxing glove attached to the end of my arrow and I'm going to shoot this at you. This was something that I thought really needed to be seen, is, you know, this guy's here and he's here to do vigilante justice the hard way. And it really hooked me from the beginning when I didn't think I would be hooked.
And then the reason that they switched it over the second season, without giving spoilers away for those that haven't seen the first season finale, like, someone very close to him dies because of something, you know, directly related to him. And to honor that person, he stops killing.
Robin? Before the new 52, Green Arrow was kind of known as a loner but he was very, you know, happy-go-lucky.
Unless you're Black Canary.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't really have a team. There was no Team Arrow in the comic book. And he was known for very much how Hal Jordan is known for, just, like, being very snarky, sarcastic. I like what they did in the show. It was sort of a fresh take, you know, the dark brooding. He was a killer, like you mentioned. And actually, not coincidentally, in the comic book, around the same time, something happened to Green Arrow in the comic book, a traumatic event where he actually went off and became a vigilante killer. He started killing villains.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And the Justice League went out and, you know, tried to corral him and bring him in. But, I mean, as far as the show is concerned, you had mentioned Batman and how you were afraid, just taking something, you know, that works and, you know, and putting it in another world. Same exact. I mean, the Dark Knight influences are unavoidable. I mean, it's heavily, heavily influenced.
Well, they're very similar characters if you really kind of think about it. You got two billionaires, both the head of these companies, and I think that's what I liked in the comics, that one is... He's brash, he is the playboy in real life that he is as the superhero. that's really him. That's not him pretending to be Bruce Wayne. He actually is.
Yeah. But, I mean, they're both... The stories are similar. Yeah, they're both rich. They're both playboys. Parental figures who were killed that caused them to become heroes. But I was speaking more towards tone and feel. And even, you know, picturing it on the screen as
I really
as
don't
Star City.
Think this show would be nearly as popular if they had gone a different route. Hmm. I really, really don't.
Well, plus you had the other CW shows that tried to do superheroes like they do them in the comics that failed.
Birds of Prey.
Yeah, Birds of Prey comes to mind. It failed miserably.
Well, they kept changing the night.
I have a kind of a question. I want to throw it to the Outcast.
Sure.
Do you like Batman Begins than The Dark Knight? Like,
yeah.
Do you know
fantastic.
How do you feel the two tones, like the Nolan-esque thing that we keep talking about?
Well, I mean, honestly, I think part of the reason why I don't think it works on the CW show is that no one's a particularly good actor. And so it's very difficult to kind of feel that there's any sense of, like, real foreboding when all they're doing is scowling and staring.
John Barrowman, you're a Doctor Who fan. John Barrowman.
Right, no. But, like, the people
like
who, the people who come in, he's, without spoiling anything, yeah, that he would be my favorite part. Also, what, I know.
Just keep going.
I've seen it all. I know what's going to be happening. No, and God, what's his son? The other one. Who's in Anything Goes with... he was in the Broadway revival of Anything Goes, and I think he was nominated for a Tony. Yeah.
Colin...
It looks like Colin Farrell, but it's not.
Donald. Colin Donald.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what it is. Was a name like Colin Donnell. Anyway, no, but I mean, I like those performances, but I just don't think that the cast is very, very talented, and I feel like it's just so CW-ized. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's so Vampire Diaries. It's gone that route so far, and I think that what CW does best when they attempt that is to wink about it, like they do in Supernatural. Do you know what I mean? Like, they can have a little bit more fun with it, and I just don't feel like they did with this show. You know, and it just felt like they don't have any opportunities in there for you to kind of see a different tone than that.
I don't feel like this... I think,
of course, it was more about Batman, but I guess.
Just going off that, though, I don't feel like this one is as CW as some of the others, like you mentioned with Vampire Diaries and all that.
I've literally watched the CW. I've never seen Vampire Diaries.
I've seen two episodes of it, and it's because I didn't want to get up and change my TV.
Yeah.
Because the remote was way too far away.
Sure.
Boone's in it.
You've seen the whole series.
I actually have.
You've
not.
Caught up to the whole
series. I would admit to it.
Oh, man.
I've watched the first.
Is that a little jar of blood right around your neck?
Is it?
Is that what it is?
Oh.
Okay. All right. Here's a question for my experts. We're just totally running through different things. Where does Green Arrow rank in the DC pantheon? Like, when I think of the DC superheroes, Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman all jump to my mind. Then I start thinking about, like, Green Lantern and Flash.
I will come over there.
I'm just curious, like, is the comic book sell more than them? Or, like, do you guys happen to know how he ranks both as a character and both as a profit or
I think probably
property?
Back in 60s, 70s, maybe he was, when it was more counterculture and his character was written that way,
mm-hmm.
probably a bigger seller. But modern era, he's second tier.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would say that.
Yeah, he was very popular in the 70s because he was bad cop to Green Lantern's good cop in that popular comic book.
And in the comics, I know this much, a lot of times he's still displayed as being a political activist. They've done things where he's been, you know, kind of recognized by various DC governmental organizations as like an eco-terrorist. I mean, there have been a lot of things that tie into that kind of thing where he's not as much a hero. He'll still show up and help the Justice League and whomever, but he's really out more to do things that for what he feels his personal justice is all
and
about.
He really doesn't agree with a lot of the stuff the Justice League.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Like, he's kind of an outcast among them, too. Like, and again, a lot of my stuff is from the animated movies, but I think it's Doom that has the several different storylines. Like it has several different little vignettes in it. And one of them is a Green Arrow at the end. I would highly recommend watching it.
Okay.
Because you'll get a good sense of the character from that.
Can you, Rob, you play D&D. What is he, chaotic good?
He's chaotic good.
Okay, that's all I need.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've kind of drifted around tone and casting. Which one do you guys want to jump on first? I think we've talked a lot about like the tone of the show, but if you want to say anything more about it. Andrew has directly said that he feels the acting chops are not there.
Now, again, I don't have an acting background, but okay. I can tell you this. Stephen Amell, the guy that plays Oliver Queen, the Arrow, the Vigilante.
Please bring up New Girl.
Yeah, he's been on a bunch of things, and he's actually, I mean, for a guy who's done a lot of TV, and Canadian TV for that matter, I mean, he's got the chops, at least according to things he's been nominated for and he's been recognized for. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that this is necessarily the most serious of all roles that he really needs to be, you know, up for awards. But I think he does a suitable job.
When it comes in respect to him, I think he's a decent actor. Like seriously, I was joking about the New Girl thing earlier, but that's one of my favorite things I've seen him do.
I remember he's like really like CC's funny, crazy boyfriend of CC's.
That is like on shrooms half the time.
And yeah.
I'm sorry, that made me laugh. I think it's more how the character's written in the show than him, because he is pretty one-dimensional in the show.
I'm not an actor either, but I like how he portrays the different versions of Oliver Queen. I mean, you have Oliver Queen 5 years ago on the island, and Oliver Queen now. I mean, you can hear the intonation and tone in
the way
his voice.
He speaks, definitely, yeah.
I mean, you can kind of see them, especially season two. They're you can see the two versions of Ollie kind of, you know, converging.
You can see how he's becoming. I think there's definitely some character growth that would not be portrayed accurately without his acting skills. Now, again, I'm not saying he's, you know, going to win an Oscar tomorrow for whatever he's doing, but I think, as far as TV goes, I've definitely seen a lot worse on shows that have gone for a lot longer.
Yeah. Here's what I'm curious about. I feel Supernatural's two leads are pretty damn good. Probably Jensen Ackles above Jared Padalecki.
I would agree with you, hardcore.
How does he rank against them as an actor?
I think he and Jared Padalecki are on an even...
pretty close.
Even tier.
Like he's a Jared Padalecki starting off.
Yeah.
Yeah, Andrew?
I don't have that high of an opinion of Jared Padalecki.
What about Jensen Ackles?
More so.
Okay.
I think. I think I like that he's willing to play a little bit more. I don't think Jensen Ackles... Or...
Padalecki.
Jared Padalecki. Yeah. I mean, it's just always the same... It's just the same scowl. It's just the same stuff. It's the same face all the time. And I never see him do anything that I'm like, wow, I've never... That surprised me.
How much is that his writing?
I've never... I mean, after 8 years on the show...
Oh, no, no. I'm talking Hamill.
How do you feel about Arrow, about Arrow's lead?
I feel like he just does the same thing. I don't ever feel surprised. I don't ever feel shocked at the things someone does when he has a plan so frequently. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't see him ever processing what is really happening. I don't really see him even making decisions that much.
It just seems
like it's very...
Is that more writing than acting? Or...
Well, the decision-making thing, no. That's acting.
Acting. I mean, it just doesn't feel like he's doing anything... impressive.
Can I ask you guys a question? Because this is one of the things that I think the show actually lacks. And it because of those comparisons that we have to make to other CW shows, because it's on the CW,
true.
I think it comes off as cheesier and campier because of the other shows it stacks up with. Hmm. I think this is the perfect kind of show that should have been done on a HBO or a Showtime. Because when you've got a guy running around shooting arrows in people and hanging them upside down and, you know, going to kill them, you're going to get the occasional F-bomb coming out. It's not just, you know, you failed the city. It's probably, forgive my language, but it's, you failed the city, motherfucker. And then you get shot in the face with an arrow. And I think that's one of the things that probably could be improved on the show is if it's going to be violent and gritty.
Taking more risks.
Let it be violent and gritty.
It's an interesting point that you bring up, you know, comparing it against other CW shows. Because when you're talking about Amell's acting and how he's essentially playing... two different people on the show. I mean, they happen to be the same person, but they're so different. I mean, they're two different people.
Converging on the same person.
Yeah, I usually compare that, his portrayal and what he has to do with I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with the show Orphan Black.
I just started watching it. Literally just started watching
how,
it 2 days ago.
I love it. Yeah, and you know, it's relatively spoiler-free. It's about cloning. And you have one actress on the show who's playing 9 different versions of you know, a clone.
Hmm.
And I compare, you know what he has to do on Arrow to what she has to do on that show.
She's a lot better at
she
it
is,
than he is.
Yeah.
All right. Man, that all came out of just the one lead,
yeah,
dude.
Sorry.
I'm not actually not very familiar with characters past the title character, so...
One of my favorites is one that they added for the show, Diggle.
That's
John,
like his assistant.
Yeah.
That's like his
yeah,
bodyguard who was supposed to watch
him. I really
him,
like
him.
He's like one of my favorite parts
so,
of the
you
show.
Know, I've been hoping that... You know, there are a couple of episodes where he actually dons the costume.
Yeah, yeah.
And
to get him out of fixes. Yeah, it's been kind of nice.
And I was hoping that they would actually...
Make him the sidekick?
Yeah, or actually, you know, make him, you know... The Arrow at one point, you know, just
would have been cool, yeah.
Yeah. But he has.
So he's the sidekick character, or like
he has several sidekicks in this show.
Okay.
Like he's got Felicity Smoke, who I really like.
Like a lot.
And then
I like her, but I don't like her a lot.
Then on the
Is that how you did that? Is that weird guttural?
Yeah.
Really aggressive liking Felicity Smoke.
It's a Dumb and Dumber reference.
That's a Dumb and Dumber reference.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
so Diggle.
Hater.
Well, I think if he's the character, yeah, he's the character that I've seen on the show, the episodes that I've watched. I really like him too. And he's really good. They play off each other really
well.
They
really do well. Yeah.
He's become so popular in the show. He's become Harley Quinn. He's been created in the comic book.
He's like Chloe. Yeah, Chloe from Smallville was not a character that.
Oh, no joke. They put her in the comic?
They put her in the comics.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So past Diggle, who else do we have?
I am a huge fan of what is his name? Manu.
Manu Bennett.
Manu Bennett.
Oh,
yeah.
He was on Spartacus.
Yes,
he was.
Yes.
Have you ever seen Spartacus?
Yeah,
Spartacus.
A lot of he's built up a lot of geek boy equity.
Yeah.
With you know Spartacus, he plays that white orc in
The
Hobbit.
That's
and,
him.
Yeah, he's doing mocap for
okay.
that character. Yeah.
So I think he's my favorite part of the show so far. His portrayal of Slade Wilson / Deathstroke.
Yeah,
yeah, and I was worried because when they called him like the first episode, they called him Slade Wilson. I went, okay, how are they gonna do that? Because he's a little genetically enhanced in the comics, and he's an assassin in the comics.
Is he typically associated with Green Arrow, or is this
no.
totally
Teen
random?
Teen Titans.
He's a
Teen Titans
/
yeah.
Batman.
Bat family villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
He's actually kind of all over the place. He had his own comic for a while.
Deathstroke.
And he has the character in the comics has his moments of being not just a villain, but an anti-hero, too.
Yeah.
There are some times, especially in a lot
of... Kind of like when Venom was doing that thing, too.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, one of the funniest things about Deathstroke is that whenever they do, like, an alternate history or alternate Earth version of those characters, Deathstroke's always the hero. He's always the hero.
That's right.
But in the main continuity, he's the villain that sometimes he remembers he's an honorable guy... And other times he's just lopping heads off.
How do you all, Manu Bennett, is that?
Manu Bennett.
How do you all feel about his portrayal?
Love it.
I think he's one of the best parts of the show.
Yeah, I really do too.
Excellent. I think he's, he brings to the actual characters like a gruffness and kind of seriousness and action oriented quality that he brings. And when they first introduce him, I was kind of wondering. I don't really see him as Slade, but then...
Yeah, they had that kind of red herring-ish thing where they had the other guy with the mask, with the Deathstroke mask. And I was like, oh, they're not going to make him. And I was like, oh, yeah, they did.
yeah. But I can say the biggest compliment I can give him is after the second season, I see him as Slade.
Yeah.
As you know, I can't really see anybody else.
They've made him a little crazier than he is in the comics. Like, because of how he gets his augmentation, he is a little unbalanced.
I think, without spoiling anything, I think the way that season 2 ends will balance that out going forward.
Thank you. I have not seen the end of season two. That's why
now,
I did that.
Andrew, you shook your head at Spartacus. So do you know who Manu
is? Oh, yeah, I do. I enjoyed him in Spartacus.
Crixus, the undefeated
ball. Yeah. There was some stuff I love that he did there. And it's hard to see him move to the CW.
You don't like him on this show?
No, I guess I need to rephrase. I don't know. We're not talking about the people that I really hate. This is gonna be the gym in the rough, dude. No. I do enjoy Manu Bennett. I have a really hard time with like the way his entire turn went into Deathstroke was motivated by what was essentially a miscommunication.
But I think it's the imbalance with the chemical that I think that causes that.
And I think it's one of those things that actually will drive his character later, like I said, because in a lot of times in the comics, he's portrayed as this kind of reluctant hero when the villain thing isn't working out for him. And in the TV show, Slade Wilson starts off basically, he's Australian Special Forces, who's there with a partner, and they wind up in a bad set of circumstances, and he and Oliver become friends through necessity and survival.
And then they become close friends.
They become very close. And then misunderstanding plus the chemical enhancement that leads to him becoming really a supervillain is what sets him on that complete other path. And now they've done some things in the show that kind of take him down a notch in terms of his ability levels and probably his craziness.
Oh no, did you just spoil the last episode for me?
No, not completely, I'm telling you. Because he's always going to be that guy that knows more, and he's more skilled and more determined than Oliver is. But what they're going, I think the direction that his character will go is he's going to now have a little bit of the crazy removed and remember that he wasn't always a bad guy. There's going to be opportunities for him to be that guy that like, now we have to team up, but it's for the better of this, but then I'm going to go back to hating you.
And also at the same time, and non-spoilerish, it also establishes that he's always going to have a hate for Oliver Queen.
Their conflict will never come to some kind of peaceful resolution and handshake and high five.
All right, we're already at the halfway point, and we have so much to do. Andrew mentioned the family. So
that's my least favorite part of the show. And it really is.
I know it's his mom and it's his sister.
His sister. Thea. Thea Queen, his sister. I could really, really, really do with that.
I think she's
probably the
least
most
favorite part.
CW of the show.
Yeah, it's really true. Yes. Yeah. I guess I should have said most of my hate comes from the family.
I really liked the father. I really liked the stepfather.
I really liked the father didn't last very long.
Yeah, that's true.
But wasn't who's the stepfather? What was he?
He's been in a bunch of stuff.
He was in Resident Evil.
Yeah, he was.
The stepfather has been. I mean, he also has a lot of fanboy equity. He's
been
in everything.
Pops up.
Yeah.
Colin Salmon's his name, or Salmon, if you want to use a fancy accent.
Does he have a fancy accent?
Mm-hmm.
I think he does.
And there's Katie Cassidy.
Oh, okay. You know what? I lied.
Okay.
She's the most CW.
Okay.
Come on. She came from Supernatural. she's the
girlfriend?
She used to be Ruby. She was the original Ruby.
Yeah.
But not the Jared Padalecki wife Ruby.
Can I tell you that every time I see her, all I can think of is that she's the chick that dies first in Taken?
It's truth.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, she is.
And I just picture her laying in a bed with like vomit on her face, completely dead and slightly stinky. And that's all I can think about when I see her.
That brightened my day.
All right, so you all sound like you don't really care for these people.
I don't, because
I have a really, really hard time seeing... Now, she's actually supposed to be the character who becomes
Black Canary.
Black Canary.
They don't even introduce her by her real name in the show. Her character's full name is Dinah Laurel Lance.
Yeah.
And in the show, she goes by Laurel because her mother is also Dinah.
Yeah.
And so it takes a little bit of time for you to recognize that she's the one that, at least in terms of the comics, eventually becomes Black Canary, Oliver's on again, off again, love interest.
Yeah.
Now, there is, from an alternate Earth that DC has many of, Black Canary is Sarah.
Okay. The sister.
The sister.
Okay. Yeah, and that brings up another point as to why I think a lot of viewers actually hate this version of Laurel is that
she's
Ollie
what,
just
whiny?
Has... Wait, she is whiny. Oh,
she shows
Lord.
Up, she shakes her ass, and Oliver goes... Oh, I used to love you, and I don't know if I love you, and maybe I'll love you
has
so much better.
Now she gets kidnapped. That happens every episode.
Yeah, every other episode she gets, yeah. But, I mean, he has so many other better choices that people want, you know, there are other, I mean, there's Felicity,
options.
There's Sarah, I mean, yeah, there's so many, there's
are
two
there,
more appealing options right there that people love their characters more than they love Laurel.
Are there good... female characters on the show? Are there good? Are there any well-written female
I think
characters?
So.
Smoke.
Felicity Smoke.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's probably one of those things that they write in. I mean, they took a very random kind of cybernetic, weird, like, minor character from the comics and turned her into a mainstay. She plays Ollie's, like, go-to tech person. Kind of a conscience for him. There's a lot of flirt. There's a lot of flirtatiousness between the two of them. But it also, I think, appeals to not just, you know, the guys that want to see TNA. She appeals to kind of like just the general nerdy kind of people that are like, see, nerdy chicks can be hot too.
It's ironic she's become so popular because she was just supposed to be a one-off character.
I've got a nasty feeling we're going to lose her to The Flash. Which I'm really excited about.
Or she'll
I don't know if I've told you guys about this.
Or she'll be killed off altogether.
They better not.
I feel like they're going to have a little bit more fun, because she's actually very into becoming part of the, kind of the fighting force. So, I mean, she's learning how to shoot. She's learning combat. So I'm excited to see if she can go to the next level. Like,
Maybe she'll be speedy.
I don't think they'll kill her off, because they took so much time to build, you know, Team Arrow. And, you know, how well and how long they've been working together.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be very sad if they did.
I really hope they do not actually have him have a sidekick named Speedy, because I think that's just absolutely ridiculous. They, at one point, I think in the first season, talked about... I think he called his sister Speedy.
That was his nickname for her growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I hope they just go straight to the Red Hood.
But you know what? It's those little tips of the cap to the comics and the bigger universe of DC that I find myself, I mean, literally jumping on Facebook and sending Roman a message like, oh, did you catch that?
Yeah.
The ship
did
was
you
the
hear,
Amazo.
Did you hear Bloodhaven?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Well, considering like who the captain of the ship was.
Right. But it's the little things like that that I do enjoy. And then there's other things that they kind of do that just... probably with Andrew, I shake my head. But I do it from a nerd standpoint of knowing the DC universe and go, oh, you can't do that.
And
well,
see, I guess that's one of my questions then. Why is this on the CW?
Like, why'd they sell it to the
CW? You know
what
I mean? You made a comment earlier about, like, how great would it be if it was on HBO or something
because
like that.
Because Smallville had a slot that needed to be filled.
Yeah.
And if they can do it with... you know, if they can automatically take your 18 to 24-year-olds... that already like comics and already watch Smallville, and the girls that watch Smallville for, you know, Talma, just, oh, here you go. We got an automatic audience that's just waiting for it.
It could have been Aquaman, man. It really could have been, because they did that pilot with the guy that played Green Arrow.
Really?
In Smallville.
In Smallville.
That's where he got his start.
It was so bad.
But they liked the actor enough that they stuck him on Smallville.
Okay. So something you guys brought up that I kind of want to touch on. Something about the show that I thought that was really interesting narratively is you have him in the present time, but they're also telling the story of his flashback at the island.
Yes.
That's going to end. It has to end eventually.
Because
he's only on there for 5 years.
But I know I've met a lot of fans of the show who say the show is good. The flashback island material is fantastic.
Yes. It's a little bit of Batman Begins, and it's a little bit of Lost.
Yeah. Okay.
Great.
See my previous theory?
All right, well, that's a great description of that.
I mean, it really is, because you it's not just, you know, oh, we're going to reboot him, and look, now we're going to have a different guy wearing tights and running around, and we're going to just assume that he's, you know, because he's a billionaire, he got trained someplace. I mean, they go back, and they really show that he learned a lot of this.
Oh, he gets his butt kicked on a regular basis.
He tortured and just brutalized, and it really comes out of survival... which plays, at least in the first two seasons, plays exactly into why the show hooked so many people, is after 5 years of having his ass kicked all over the place, he is a guy who's been fighting for his life, and now that's how he's going to fight for his city, by taking lives. And that's where the hook came from the get-go.
Do you know one of the things I don't like about the island is that Sarah is there? Laurel's sister, Sarah, who is actually Canary in the show, that was one of the things in the second season. I was like, really? Come on. They should have just left her dead, and I kind of wish they had made Laurel Black Canary, but I guess maybe that was too obvious for the fans.
Here's the next question I kind of want to bring up then. I just wanted to talk about the island just to get your opinions on. What were you going to say, Rob?
I was going to say they even made a tie. I just realized there's another tie into Batman with League of Shadows because Sarah was part of League of Shadows.
Interesting.
Which brings up a whole, I mean, timing-wise, you come to realize she became that incredibly kick-ass assassin in basically 3 years, which is
weird.
Yeah.
Andrew, am I outcast? Do you have any questions or comments so far?
No, not at this time. I wish I did.
Okay.
What do you think about the flashbacks, though? I mean,
That's probably, story-wise, that's probably what's been keeping me engaged, I would say.
I mean, that was probably my favorite part of the show.
Yeah. I'm glad they moved it.
Second half of the first season.
And it's a great writing technique for them, because pretty much any time they go, you know what, this is getting boring, let's move him into a different part. Well, why would he do that? Well, we've got all this time on the island, we can just write something back into his history and go with it.
Mm-hmm. Which was nice at the beginning of the second season when they show the broken ship in the bay, and I was like, huh,
how did that happen? there's a lot of room for it to go in a lot of different directions because of how they set up the show.
Is there as an outcast, is there an episode that you feel is like the best example of this is how this show works? An episode like I should start with, or that you would point to, is say if you want a really good example of what Arrow is like.
Andrew's laughing.
We'll get to whatever Andrew is laughing about.
The one you said off mic, with the Suicide Squad.
But that one takes a little bit of setup.
Favorite episode is the mid-season finale of season 2.
Yes,
Deathstroke. When he's this is kind of spoilerish. I don't know if I should mention it, but that's where they introduce Slade Wilson into the present.
As
the mastermind behind everything that's happening right now in Starling City.
A lot of my favorite episodes involved around Merlin from the first season, because I liked that dynamic they had, and it was actually pulling an old Arrow villain, a Green Arrow villain, out of the comics.
Who's Merlin?
There was another archer
in
the comics called Merlin, and they gave him, it was his, I don't know a whole lot about him.
He was like a carnival performer who was a master archer, and in the comic book he grows to hate Green Arrow because he defeats him in
the show they turn him into something completely different. Was he a part of the League of Shadows?
In the show they made him he was part of the League. Well, they never established as though he was part of the League of Shadows.
Because he's just trying to destroy
them. He trained there.
Okay,
and
that's right.
They've
kind
of put him on the outs of pretty much everything.
Are you allowed to train there and not be in the League of Shadows?
Well, that's
Batman. Duh.
That actually is something that they use. That Oliver's mother, when she finds out that he's still...
Like, if I don't have to try out to be in the League of Shadows, I could just chill, like, work out with him, you know?
No, but
that'd be real cool.
That whole concept, though, is actually...
Do some blue spy flower. Shit.
They made a point in the TV show of when he shows back up and people thought he was dead and he's, I'm going to come back after you. The mom, in typical protective fashion over a lot of people, is like, don't make me call Daddy Ra's al Ghul. Don't make me call him, because he doesn't know that you're here. And I'm going to go away now. So there's a lot of tie-ins to the League of Shadows, and there's... Well, that's a grumble I'm going to complain about later.
Andrew, just to kind of color your view there...
If
you auditioned for the League of Shadows, you would be their cook.
Right. Oh my god. But I'd be the cook with all the moves, you know, like
sure.
I don't know, like
sure.
Throw my pants
like
up in the air and jump.
You
them.
Oh yeah. You would
everyone
beat them.
Would be like, whoa, that's so cool.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to expand the League of Shadows universe any further than they have. I mean they've mentioned Ra's al Ghul by name, and you know, they haven't mentioned Talia by name, and I doubt they'll ever appear on the show.
That's
because
she's
they're
dead.
More they're Batman. They're Batman characters, which is why they brought Lyssa onto the show. It's kind of Talia's stand-in.
What's one of the worst episodes?
Anything with
the Huntress.
Anything with the Huntress.
Anything with the Huntress. Anything that really dives deep into League of Shadows. Anything that's an obvious Batman reference that you go, they didn't just make this into kind of like the Dark Knight. They made the Dark Knight.
I think anything with Count Vertigo, his portrayal of that character is so over the top.
I know it is, but I kind of like it.
But see,
I'm not gonna lie.
The thing about this show that I hate the most is they couldn't do a Batman TV show, so they took the next closest thing and made dark, gritty Green Arrow. The thing that I like the most about this show is that it works when they stick to Green Arrow stuff. When they try to do the Batman stuff, it's really cool for the fans, but it really upsets me because they're not letting this show do its own thing.
I would say the Laurel alcohol episodes.
Dude, they just need to either off her or get her shit together, because, man, everything that revolves around her I can't stand. Especially in the second season. She's like a useless character on the show.
So far. But the one thing about this show that I keep thinking about is Smallville, for the first couple of seasons, was so terrible. It's like when we talked about you kind of like watching Star Trek, and you're like, oh, the first season was horrible. And everybody admits that. Mm-hmm. But I see it progressively getting better. I see the first couple of seasons of Smallville where we're going to have our Kryptonite Villain of the Week.
We really are going to disagree. My favorite thing about Smallville was the first four seasons of him in high school, him developing his powers.
The power development, yes, but when they had to find a reason for there to be a new super freak, that he had to develop a new power just to defeat them, that part killed me. And that's what I see a lot of Arrow's first couple of bad guys being, was like, oh, here's the guy who could make all the bombs. Okay, now I gotta just shoot the bomb.
And he was from Firefly.
There was also a lot of kryptonite in Smallville.
Well, yeah, because
everybody got infected with that.
Everything that was blown up from Krypton landed there.
Landed. Yeah. How
do you like the adaptations of the villains that they've done in Arrow? Like
I really
Royal
like
Flush
Deadeye.
Gang.
I like Deadeye.
Deadshot.
Deadshot.
Yeah, he's really, really well.
No, and I think he's a good portrayal. I think some of the other things that they've tried to do haven't worked as well.
Royal
Flush Gang?
Yeah, they were the bank robber, the family bank robbers that left the.
Oh,
that was their version of Royal
Flush
Gang.
Okay, I didn't make the connection.
Yeah, that's sort of the point I'm making. It's sort of unique the takes they have on some of these villains.
I want to try and compare it to something that's contemporary. How is it against Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Okay.
Are we talking first half of the season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
or
second half?
Because first half is kind of a bad
it's,
guy
It's
week.
Very episodic, bad
yeah.
guy of the
yeah.
week. The second half was like,
after Winter Soldier,
gross.
It got great.
Yeah. It's a little bit unfair to compare the two because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., because of the tie-in to Winter Soldier.
Much larger thing,
It took off after that.
Yeah.
And you had... You
got
know,
it
the,
a second season picked up. It didn't before.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you have the whole Winter Soldier tie-in in Captain America.
Yeah.
And able to, you know, drop names and the experiences of all the cinematic characters in the Marvel Universe. So, I mean, it really did. It got so much better once...
And I don't think you're... Between those two shows, I don't think you're really comparing apples and apples. It's apples and oranges because from the get-go, you know, when Clark Gregg steps out of the shadows in the beginning of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and he's like, oh, hey, welcome to level 7. Oh, sorry, there's supposed to be a light on back there. I don't know why it's so dark. They set it up to be campy and fun, even though there's still action and there's drama.
And more fantastical. I mean, it's... Like, you've got...
There's a Thor crossover.
Yeah,
I mean, they're, it's definitely in with the existing universe that they've established for the Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Arrow's supposed to be like Batman Begins. There are no other heroes. The technology is as quote-unquote real world as they can make it for a guy running around in green bike.
Even though we have the Flash now.
I'd actually like to hear from our outcast about this because we know how you feel about Arrow. But being, you know... I know you love Buffy.
Mm.
Being... I mean,
Joss Whedon.
Yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. What do you think about that
show? I think I'm much more forgiving because it's Joss Whedon. I can see some similar issues. Like, I have problems with Fitzsimmons. Fitzsimmons. I love them, but I want them
and
to
she's
be
totally
more.
Hydra.
I want them to be a little bit more. But I agree. I have not seen the Winter Soldier yet.
Really?
Correct. But
I'm glad we didn't.
You want to see abs? Go see that movie.
I have not. I haven't made a two movie theater in months. But yeah, I agree. It's gotten so much better, and I've been watching it a lot. Watching it since it first started.
Okay. Here's a question I want to pose to each of my experts individually. And DJ, I'll start with you. So if you had creative power over the show, what would you change about it? Or would you leave it as it is?
I would stop trying to be Batman. Stop taking Batman and do your own thing. Because for as much as I as a fan of all things Batman and comics and DC, I like seeing, oh cool, they're going to tie in, you know, this, they're going to do that. It's gotten to the point where they're blatantly stealing. When Arrow was just like, we're going to give a nod to the universe at large. And, oh, you know, he's dangling the guy in front of the train that's on its way to Bloodhaven. That was cool. When he's got to swoop into Bloodhaven to save somebody and all you see is one building, that was cool. When the entire League of Shadows shows up, that's a problem.
Rob?
I agree with that wholeheartedly. It's the fear I had is that it was going to just be Batman. It's also one of the things I really like about it. I do like the grittiness of it. If I had creative control over the show, his public Oliver Queen would be more like the one in the comic. I would actually like his Oliver... I would like his Arrow to be a little more... He can still have the darkness, the grittiness, but, man, he can have, you know, the one-liners. He can have... Hmm. He can have the wit and
like
still
the,
be gritty and dark.
Like, the
know?
First few episodes when he came back, he's literally standing on a bar at the party doing shots...
Right,
to distract
and then
from
has just gone away.
Yeah,
completely gone away.
And now he's the where's our CEO? Why can't we find our CEO? Oh, because he's beating up thugs in the street.
And I think that's probably the one thing I would because I you can still have the same show and have the character be more like the comics. I think I would enjoy that. Yeah. I think I would enjoy the wit. I think I would enjoy just in general a lighter tone to the character, but still have the darkness.
DJ and Rob actually stole my thunder on both my points on that one. I wholeheartedly agree with both. The similarities to Batman, I think it's unavoidable given the tone and direction that they've chosen to go with the show. And with the character, I mean, the character had similarities to Batman's character to begin with. I do wish that he was a little bit more like his comic book version, where, like you said, the quips when he's shooting the arrows, maybe even, you know, a trick arrow every once in a while.
He does. Well, he started using the trick arrows now. He's had.
He has bombs and he has arrows.
Yeah,
he started and bolos using, and
yeah, the bolo one.
I
that's
mean,
the one.
I'm not saying break out the boxing glove arrow, but
yeah,
I mean,
I'm saying I don't need a boxing glove arrow ever. Although I wouldn't mind a nod to the comic if he's in a sporting goods store.
But they have totally abandoned the you know the. Just the Playboy Oliver Queen persona.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this, at least as far as the tone of the character, he went from season one, Stone Cold Killer, to season two, they're addressing him as the vigilante. He's being not even the vigilante, he's the Arrow. I mean, it's being known by that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's put an emphasis on no killing, being a hero. So I can see them leaving room for him to become... Things
more
have
like,
settled
yeah.
to a point where I can be fun and I can do this and I can enjoy what I'm doing to help the city instead of just scratching off names from my little book.
Yeah.
I still think they need to do... In order to do that, they need to go away from the Batman blueprint and let him be campy with his own robes. Let him do his own thing.
And I'm kind of hoping that with... I'm guessing we're going to get a lot of Flash crossovers. I'm kind of hoping with that added character that maybe it'll start to pull a little more out of him.
I think that the trailer for The Flash, the extended trailer,
establishes
that there's going to be much, at least a few appearances by Arrow.
Here's to hoping.
Andrew, I will also ask you this question. If you had creative control over the show, what would you change? Or
I'd kill Laurel real quick.
You're here.
I'd kill Thea real quick.
Okay.
I just like kill the mom real quick.
I like the mom, actually.
Nah, just, you know, kill her. I would make a little bit more use of some of the guest stars that they've had on there, like John Barrowman and who's Laurel's mom?
Oh,
Mrs. Queen. I don't know. I forget the
actress's name. No. You know who I'm talking about.
I do. Okay, somebody go to IMDb.
River.
Yeah. She's River Song.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah, so I mean, like, she comes in for, like, 5 lines an episode, and they're just like, never bye. What?
Huh.
What? You have this wonderful actress that, like,
I agree
is
with
outrageously,
you there. Yeah.
Like, and just gone. And also, whatever the best friend, his whole, you know.
Tommy Merlin.
Yeah. He's actually got, I would have loved to see him a little bit more. I wasn't particularly fond of the stuff that he did, but
they kind
of
had to go that route to get him where he is now.
Hmm.
I guess they could have done it with his sister.
I never really bought that relationship. I never really bought that friendship.
I actually did, because that actor was good. Like, he was one of the best actors in this show while he was on there.
Yeah.
He could actually convey the hurt that he got from
finding out
Queen,
that Ollie was lying to him. And
yeah.
I would have changed how they killed off some villains who I felt could return, or who were good villains, because quite frankly, Green Arrow's rogues gallery is not that great.
Oh, come on.
I mean, for instance,
Flash is good too.
Ravager, I mean, or their version of Ravager.
Yeah,
I thought that was. I mean, I guess I'm spoiling it to a certain sense because I've already said that they're killing off ones, but she could have been I thought a recurring character.
Remind me who Ravager?
In the comics, it's Slade Wilson's daughter.
Okay.
In the show,
it's the girl that what's her name?
From
Terminator.
Serenity.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that's the one I was going for.
Summer
Glau.
Yeah.
Oh, Summer Glau's on the show?
Yeah.
Oh. But also,
again, another guest star that is on there for a little bit, but she's got her scenes or whatever, but they're not very long, and she,
Summer
for what
not
she
the greatest
does, too.
Of actors, actresses on this planet.
But it's also, I just feel like she would have been used a little bit more on any other show.
But you've got villains like Count Vertigo and Clock King. I thought Clock King, I mean,
yeah.
In the comic books, he's so much, I mean, he's a villain with so much more substance, and he's so much better portrayed in the comic books. Like, you know, he just had a one-off here.
Yeah. Well, the way they did him, though, do you still want him around?
All right, we're running a little long. Actually, we're right on time, but yay! So, is there anything we haven't talked about yet that you guys want to talk about? Any subjects or whatnot? Before we go into final thoughts.
Man, there's the thing about this show that I really like is that it has, at least in my opinion, such potential to really be better than any other superhero TV show that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to take some hard decisions on their part to go away from some things that they've done and really focus on other things that they've done really well.
That sounds like final thoughts to me. So
I like the respect for the source material. I mean, their expansion into more aspects of the DC universe. For instance, they're not getting, you know, Antonio Sabato Jr. to play Slade Wilson, which did happen in Lois and Clark.
Oh, that's right.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah, I mean, their own takes on the villains and the other characters in the DC, in the DC expanded universe, but I mean you can tell that they're respectful of the source material and they're, you know, they don't want to change it dramatically, and then, you know, the additions like Diggle,
mm-hmm.
and you know, Felicity Smith. I like Felicity Smith.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I think I would like to see what this show does in the future. I'm kind of curious to see if maybe they are going to start going the more traditional Queen route from the comics. Like, maybe he will learn to like life a little bit more, you know? So, yeah, I guess that's about it.
Andrew, Have we done anything tonight to make you not dislike the show as much, or?
I mean, I think I agree that there, it, I like the place that it's going in, especially with, like, for example, the island. That's going to keep me engaged. It is still a relatively young show. I mean, it is only at 2 seasons, so let's see what happens in the third one.
Cool.
Yeah.
He's going to continue hate watching.
It's going to be awesome. Well, at least he'll keep hate watching.
And then it'll eventually become
you
love.
Have all of these Doctor Who,
I mean,
actors
that's,
popping
that's
up on the show. It's...
Right, but it's going to be like Amy Pond for like 30 seconds. And it'll be like, why'd you... Why'd you just leave her like that? Just throw her out in the
Rory's
trash.
Rory's on the show also.
Right.
Don't go see that horror movie she's in. Don't.
When you were
no?
talking earlier and you started talking about you were, something
she's
about
in a comedy
the Black Canary.
On NBC. For the fall.
Yeah, she is.
Sophie. Oh, great. Good
nice.
For her.
Yeah.
I just think they should turn into a romantic comedy where it's the Green Arrow and the Black Canary. But they don't know who the other person is, and it's just them in two relationships, right? Like, as their people and as their...
Now, wait, would Green Arrow be dating the alter ego of the Black Canary?
Yeah.
And Black Canary be dating the alter ego of
mm-hmm.
Green Arrow? Okay.
And they just don't know. It's a lot of, like, hidden doors.
Hey, my all boyfriend right. has that same mole on his mm-hmm. penis.
I see this ending with... I see this ending with... His scenario ends with... But mistletoe can be deadly if you eat it. And then Michelle Pfeiffer turns out to be Catwoman. And Bruce Wayne turns out to be somebody that never should have been Batman. And then everyone's sad.
Well, as someone who was not hate-watching the show, and as someone who hasn't seen too many episodes, I think you've all convinced me that I should go... Watch some episodes. I have to watch Firefly first, obviously.
Uh-huh. Did I give you that?
It's on Netflix.
Fair enough.
Gentlemen, thank you for coming out tonight and talking to me about Arrow. Does anybody have anything they wish to plug at this time? Any other podcasts or something that you're working on that you want people in the Chicago area or further to know about?
I accept cash.
Okay. Rob, do you have anything you wish to plug? Or?
I don't.
Andrew?
Yeah, we have a sketch show! It's gonna be really funny! Thursdays in September.
Wait, it's on a Thursday? I can actually
Thursdays
go?
At
September.
Stage
773. Stage 773.
Stage 773.
Right off the Belmont Red Line, stop 8 p.m.
Be there.
We've never had something to plug before. I'm so excited.
What was the date of that again?
Thursdays in September.
Thursdays in September.
8 p.m., stage 773, just west of the Belmont.
Oh,
wow,
that's a long time off.
It is, which means we're gonna. It's gonna. We're,
gonna
we,
be
have
a
episode, we have a good
show.
Time.
We have a show
gonna,
we need to write.
We have a show we need to write, but we have like 3 months, so we'll take our time.
We'll get together in 2 months.
Yeah.
Roman, do you have anything you wish to plug at this time?
Sadly, no.
Okay. All right. If you're in the Chicago area, you can see me around with. This Side of Witty, which will be performing at Stage 773 in September. You can also catch me at the Public House Theater. Here in Chicago, I do comedy with them. You can also find me on my fellow podcasters' websites, Blaster Podcast, my friend Mark, and also Alcohollywood with my friend Jared. So please give those guys a listen. If you have any comments, questions, or protests, please email them to nerdoutcastpodcast@gmail.com. I have been your host, Chris Bashan, and talking with me tonight about CW's Arrow have been...
DJ Fink.
Rob Shoemate.
Andrew Kudla.
Roman Reigns.
Thank you, gentlemen, and thank you for listening.